Father, thank you again for just the immense truth that we have in you, Lord, that every time that we are together, your truth stands inspection. Lord, that we can bring every kind of doubt, every kind of question, every kind of reflection, and measure it against the truth of God in Christ Jesus. And Lord, we're just asking that your truth would guide us today, and that we would be just encouraged and built up and understand to the depth that you would have us, which is an infinite depth, Lord, the beauty of a renewed mind in Christ.
Amen.
Lord, this is probably, in all humility, the most important lesson of all that,
yes,
that we are looking at today.
Amen.
So, Lord, just guide us now, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. A bold statement, but I can't tell you, this is the nugget. This is really it. Okay, so the overarching theme in Ephesians, once again, the letter dwells profoundly on the person of Jesus Christ and the church. In the context for this session, and I'm sure it was a wonderful session, from John, but it's Paul's reflection upon the Gentiles alienated from God because of their hardness of heart, a resistance that is characterized by what I read it was culpable ignorance. So you're guilty. It's not an ignorant. Some people are ignorant and they're not guilty of it. They're just ignorant. But this is God is, go back to Romans 1, the heavens declare the glory of God, and you have to work real hard to not see his glory. So it's a culpable ignorance of God and a refusal to submit to God, producing a futility of mind that catastrophically disfigures behavior unto depravity. All right,
wow.
So this is our situation. It's catastrophic. God is totally holy, and we are, without Christ, in total rebellion. This really goes back to the doctrine of total depravity that we get from Calvinism, which I can never escape it. If you withdraw the general grace of God from the human race, you get the whole situation where the thoughts of man are just continuously wicked. What was going on before the flood? I think it was kind of a view of what life without God's influence looks like. And when you read the newspapers and, what's going on in our world, duh, total depravity. So thank God for his general grace.
Amen.
You can stop at a stoplight and then go in the green and you're not going to get hit every time.
Yeah.
you still get hit, but it's not likely. So, and John, do you have any thoughts on the context?
No, that's a beautiful summary.
Is that okay?
Yeah. I think
okay. All right. Well, the learning target for enduring understanding in this session is to understand the practical reality of living with a spirit-filled heart and a renewed mind that resonates with the presence of Jesus Christ. I don't think there's a higher call. I just don't think there is. All right, so why don't we read, starting with verse, let's put it in context. So let's start with you, Nancy. Do you want to read 17 through 25 in Ephesians 4?
Sure. So I tell you this and insist on it in the Lord, that you must no longer live as Gentiles do in the futility of their thinking. They are darkened in their understanding and separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts. Having lost all sensitivity, they have given themselves over to sensuality so as to indulge in every kind of impurity with a continual lust for more. You, however, did not come to know Christ that way. Surely you heard of him and were taught in him in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus. You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitudes of your minds. and to put on the new self, created to be like God in the true righteousness and be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to his neighbor, for we are all members of one body.
Okay, thank you. All right, so when we look at verse 22, we really are recapturing some of what was discussed last time. But let's just, for clarity and definition sake, what is the old nature?
That's good.
All right, yeah. Yeah, I mean, this is all about genetics, spiritual genetics. You know, we have physical genetics. You're descended from your parents, and you can go all the way back, your genealogy, as far back as you care to go, and it's all about DNA and so forth. But there is spiritual genetics, and it is really the dead man walking. It's the fallen essence of our being that we receive at conception. We receive the genetics of Adam. So, you know, if there's ever any doubt about this, you know, just look at an infant. An infant has to be taught how to do the right thing. I mean, that is such a plain evidence of the fallenness of man. You know?
Yeah.
We don't have to teach anybody how to be bad. They do that by nature. Mm. And, you know, again, God's general grace allows some kind of civility in this world. Otherwise, it would be constant bloodshed. But the old nature that we have, that's just pure... it is hideous. And it's very, very broken. What's the beauty of understanding that? Whenever there's a hard truth, there's a blessing behind it.
You radiate gratefulness.
Yes.
Just yeah. Every day that you're...
Yep. That you can rest in the goodness of God and be delivered. And that's hugely important. Because what is it when people don't get that? What happens? I mean, what is the issue? If they don't really, really understand total depravity, then what?
Well, they excuse it, rationalize it, and they don't look at themselves necessarily as guilty.
Exactly.
I'm better than this other person.
Yep.
So, you know, I didn't kill anybody today, right. So I'm better than that person.
Yeah.
So I'll rationalize away the things that I do. Everybody does it.
Yeah.
So I'm okay, you know, telling that little lie or stealing that little thing. Yeah.
Or I did this because somebody made me do it.
Right, somebody made me do it. Or it's right for me to seek revenge. Any of those things.
Right.
We rationalize behavior that is... abominable to God.
Mm-hmm.
Or you feel sorry for yourself, which I think is
all the self-care. Yeah, it's all the self-care.
Yep.
To be a Christian and run on raw field.
Yeah, well, we're hopefully going to have a little light on that issue. But anyway, you do not see your need.
Mm-hmm.
That's the big deal. You see yourself in some degree as self-sufficient when you are not confronted with your total depravity apart from the wind of God and the blood of Christ on your life. All right, so now Paul, he's very specific here, actually. He says, put off your old nature. Now, he describes this, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful lusts. So what is Paul saying? How does he characterize the influence of the old nature upon behavior?
Well, first of all, it's corrupt.
Yeah.
And we are being deceived.
Yes. Yeah.
There's deceived.
Two big words there.
I think John said it well. You know, we're deceived that I'm better than you because I prayed this morning you may not have been.
Yeah. Yeah. The word corruption is a powerful word. It's a horrible word.
Corrupt.
It even sounds bad.
Mm-hmm.
But the Latin word corrumpere means to destroy, spoil, or bribe, actually. C-U-R-U-M-P-E-R-E. And then, you know, Webster's just gives us morally debased, perverted, evil, and depraved. So the old nature is a dictator.
I like that, the bribe, huh?
Yeah. What? Tell me about the bribe.
Doesn't it come from deceit? Like without God, we're so easily deceived.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Eve was deceived.
Yeah.
So easily.
Yeah.
And the smartest, you see all these smart people, intelligent people.
Yeah.
And they're so deceived. Yeah. And you think.
Yeah.
And they just can't see it. They're blind and deceived.
Yeah.
And easily deceived by every wind of doctrine.
Yeah.
It blows you away when you see it.
Yeah.
Well, you know, just thank God morning, noon, and night that He revealed Himself to you. Because all these people got up in the morning just like we do.
And they don't want to be deceived.
They don't.
No.
They didn't say, I want to be, you know, behind the eight ball.
Good morning.
Wow.
That's the crew.
It may be.
So, yeah, that is so well put. So that's the old nature is a dictator. All right, it is a dictator unto depravity. I mean, it is going to drive you into depravity. Our old nature. Its agenda is always the same.
And without the word of God, you don't recognize.
Without the word of God, you don't. Yeah, you don't recognize it. All right. So it's a dictator under depravity. The foundation of the old nature is corruption. Okay, this is the sad truth of our life apart from Christ. And then what is the avenue that Paul identifies through which corruption comes into the human soul? And that Tansy just covered that. It's deception. And it's deceitful what?
Desires.
Yeah. And the Revised Standard says lust. So tell me, you know, deceitful means representing as true what is false, okay? But what about a lust? How do you define lust?
Controlling power.
Yes. I like that. I mean, I hate it, but I love it. I mean, that's the right definition. The thing about lust is you don't own a lust. The lust owns you. You know, I mean, you've got a car, you've got a house, and you've got, you know, and sometimes your car can own you.
Yeah.
And guess what? You no longer own the car, it owns you. And it becomes a lust. So you realize anything can become a lust when it blots out what God has for you in Himself in Christ. Anything.
I used to feel like the house was a lust. I mean, a prison, not a lust. It was a prison camp.
All right. So, you know, this is where it is. I mean, there's a couple of verses here. Tansy already went there to Genesis 3:6. Remember, this is deceitful lust. And if you want to just joke, will you read that?
Yeah.
Genesis 3:6. And then, Luke, how about... We'll bring you in on 1 John 2:15 through 17. It is a barn burner. So think about. I'm sorry. I haven't been here in 2 weeks. I'm cramped up on coffee. I'm ready to jump here.
So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was a delight to the eyes and that the tree was to be desired to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate, and she also gave some to her husband, who also with her, and he ate.
Okay.
He was with her and he
ate. So how do you see lust in that?
Well, she saw this fruit as something, you know, wow. I could eat that apple today. What a good-looking apple,
yeah.
Or something like that.
So it was appealing.
It was very
the,
appealing. Yeah.
Yeah.
Lust of the.
Yep.
Lust of the
eyes.
Well, that's where we're going next.
I'll save the thunder. It's coming.
Luke will give us the thunder. Yeah, this, I'll tell you what, this next verse is such a dagger in the heart that will really, really just draw you up and measure you by God. So surrender to this verse.
Was it Luke?
No, John.
Oh, one John.
First John 2:15-17. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever.
All right, and we got to unpack this. So what is being said here? Can someone give me some parallel thoughts on what the lust of the flesh is? We've got three main lusts here. Let's nail these down.
We were talking a little bit about lust last week.
Okay.
And just talking about that desire to have everything immediately and also the feeding of the self. It was okay. The sensuality. You know,
yes.
I want to meet my needs. I need to meet my needs, physical, emotional. And that's first.
Right.
And I want it now.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to be waiting for it. You know, meet my needs now.
Yep.
And it colors every relationship. It overpowers every relationship, every situation.
Good.
In our lives.
Sensuality is a good word. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's a horrible word, but I'm going to do that all day.
Yeah, I know.
Sensuality is what we're talking about here. Eve looked at that apple. Mm-hmm. It was gleaming and red, and I could have this thing. You know.
And be wise.
Sensuality, lust of the flesh, and obviously the biggest concern of
Jeff. Also, it's when you look, you decide in advance what you're going to get from it, so that makes you drive after it more. Like she decided in advance, it's going to be.
Wow!
I'm sure she decided it was going to be tasty and good, and she'd be.
Yeah, I mean, what if it was bitter and rotten?
Right. But whenever we crave something like that we want to have it so intensely, we already have decided what we're going to get.
We almost give it power.
For it. Right.
Yeah, good point.
You know, trusting Christ, we really should take a step.
We don't fall
into that. Is that what it's going to be? Is it going to deliver what we think it's going to deliver? And is that really good for us? Because that's the other thing. We decide that's what we have to have.
Excellent point. We have preconceived ideas about what this thing is. I see that car that I want so bad. I have this preconceived idea that I'm going to get in it and I'm going to feel like I'm in a chariot that's borne on the winds or something.
But it's a lie.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Believe a lie.
You know, you get a flat tire in the first mile.
Which is why Christ tells us to take every thought captive. Because if we can take it captive, what is captivity? Captivity means you have something that's you're now controlling instead of it controlling you.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, when you take something captive, you have won. It's a POW. You know, it's a prisoner of war. So now I can look at that thought and I can say, okay, I thought is that a good thought?
Yeah.
Is that a thought that I should be having? Nope.
That's good.
Leave it in captivity.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, so sensuousness
too, right?
Well, we're defining idolatry, aren't we?
Yeah, yeah, this is going to do it for me.
Yep.
Not God, but this.
All right, now what about the second one? Now, the lust of the flesh is first. The lust of the eyes is second. Now, what do you think that is? Is it the same thing as the lust of the flesh, or is it different? I had a hard time sorting this out, to be honest with you. But what is the lust of the eyes? What do you think they're speaking of?
I tend to think that may be things that we crave for but are beyond our reach.
Good. What's the other word for that?
Eye candy, but I mean, it's
yeah.
I don't know what the other word would be.
Covetousness. Yeah.
Covetousness.
Thou shalt not covet. Okay. All right, Zach? You can't covet your brother's whatever he's got. You got what you need. But covetousness is a basic horror in the human soul. have and the have-nots. So like I say, this measures us on every level. You cannot survive this verse without Christ. You cannot. You're drawn and quartered by this verse spiritually. So we have sensuousness, we have covetousness, and what about this last one? And the pride of life. What? Aaron, what's that? What's the pride of life? Is it a good thing, bad thing, neutral? Is it a bad thing? Why?
Pride is something that is always going against God, like in your own nature, something you think you can do by yourself.
Yes, precisely. So what's the other word for this? Self?
Sufficiency.
Just what you said. Self-sufficiency. So when you read these three segments, put them into these other words. Sensuousness, covetousness, and self-sufficiency. Those will give you sort of a clearer picture of what is being addressed here. And this is a challenge before us. You know, this is what our corrupt nature is going to gravitate. These are the deceitful lusts. It's going to be lying to our soul. Our depraved nature is going to gravitate these things like a bead of honey. Mm-hmm. You don't have to work it up. It happens naturally. Yeah. So, all right, that's just incredibly important. And you can look in your life at everything that you have done that you know God wasn't happy about, and you can fit it into one of these categories.
Absolutely.
You can just like, absolutely. this was that. So, all right, well, you guys are great. That is the hardest truth to swallow, but that is the truth nonetheless. So, now, let's get to the good stuff. We need to get here. Now, what is Paul's command? He's saying what? Put off your old nature. And I'm back in Ephesians. So what does that mean? What's he really saying?
Get in the Word and have your mind renewed.
Okay.
And be content.
Yeah.
With the fact that you have the Holy Spirit, you have God. Be content with that.
Yeah.
And then all the things, you know, bring every thought captive.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Just kind of tumbles inside of you, and then you're okay.
So, you know, put off really means to deny the rule of your soul by your old nature. Now, how is this possible? Catherine, how's it possible?
Well, it's only possible when we recognize that we are ruled by our sin nature, and then we would have to give that to God and surrender it.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So, if you surrender it, then you are what? You are
letting it go.
Taking it off.
Yeah, I mean, you're putting off this old nature, but what gives you... Oh, I'm going to give
freedom.
It away. Yes!
Oh. Freedom?
Freedom!
I was going to say humility.
Yeah.
Freedom. Okay.
Yeah, right on. You are free.
Well, that's funny because this week I was reading in Romans, and I won't read all of it, but two verses. It says, likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ the Lord. Let not sin reign therefore in
Perfect.
Your mortal body, that ye should obey in the lust thereof.
Perfect.
So that's Romans.
Beautiful parallel
Romans
verse.
6.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah, there is actually a lot in Scripture about this.
Yeah.
But thank you for that one. I went to John 8, 31 through 36. Adam, you want to read that?
Sure.
John 8, 31 through 36. Now, this is Jesus. He's going head-to-head with the Pharisees who think they're God's gift to creation because they're born of Adam. Oops. Not Adam. Abraham. Sorry with an A. All right, go ahead.
Okay. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. They answered him, We be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, Ye shall be made free? Jesus answered them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, Whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth ever. If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed.
Beautiful. Thank you. So this is all about freedom. Freedom from this hideous, depraved nature that we are born with, and we're responsible to a holy God. And, you know, if the Son sets you free, then you are free indeed. You know, the beautiful emphasis there. You know, we got to live in the indeed. What does that connote? The indeed.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's like, yeah, not just a little bit. Mm-hmm. This, I'm really free. I'm not just free.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay? Mm-hmm. You know, well, let's keep going because it gets better and better. Now, here we go. Put off your old nature, which belongs to your former manner of life, corrupts through deceitful lust, and, all right, be renewed in the spirit of your minds. What is the spirit of the mind? Does anybody have a different translation, by the way?
Attitude.
Be
renewed in the attitude.
In the attitude. Oh,
of your mind.
Gosh. Okay. What is that?
I always thought of attitude, it's almost a positional term, if you will. It's almost like longitude and latitude, literally. It's where are we going to focus?
Oh,
where
my God.
Where are we? Because we now are free, but free to do what? We're free to fix our eyes on Jesus or not.
Okay.
You know, it's where are we going to look at? I mean, Robert Shuler, who wrote that Be Happy Attitudes for the Beatitudes, said it's literally, are we going to look at the world with God's eyes or not?
Wow.
That becomes, we're free to now choose to, by the power of the Holy Spirit, do that. Look at the world with God's eyes. Look at other people with God's eyes and love for them. All of those things. It's how we're going to position after we take our thoughts captive. Mm-hmm. And the ones we know are not right, you know, then where are we going to put our mind on? Where are we going to fix our eyes?
That's good. Kind of
you think about that when the illustration of Jesus, when he told Peter, when Peter said two different things, thou art the Christ, and then he says, no, you can't die.
Yeah,
so Jesus immediately says, get thee behind me, Satan. He was a discerner of words. Hmm. You know, amongst his disciples, I'm sure the disciples said, wow.
Yeah.
One time you're praising the guy, now you're telling him he's the devil.
Yeah.
I mean, but ultimately, it's the mind of Christ, which I think the key to that verse in verse 23 is, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Renewed what? Renewed the way Adam used to be in the garden.
Yes.
He had fellowship with God.
There you go.
He knew what was right.
Yeah.
He knew the spirit of God. He knew how to walk with God. He knew that it was normal just to do the things that God
Amen.
Told him to do.
Yeah.
And so that renewed spirit is the oneness. Everything that Jesus, everything I do, is of the Father.
Yeah.
Everything I say, everything I do, it's of the Father. I knew these things,
yeah.
You know? And so for us to be renewed, it should be just like that.
Okay.
And if something comes in, then it's of the old. I mean, it's no different than getting in. I walked out, I had an old car, and I got my new car. I kept my old one just in case. But do we want to keep the old car just in case? And if you go out there and you get into the old car.
That's a good analogy.
If you go out there and you get into the old car.
You have that
you
choice.
Know, then it's the old car.
Yeah.
It's not like, oh, gee, I forgot it was my old car. No, you knew it was the old car. You know, and I think that's.
So what car are you driving?
We justify ourselves. You know, we justify our actions.
That's
and
great.
Once you get in the old car, even though you know you're in the old car, you still have to keep lying to yourself that you're not in the new car.
Yeah.
And it's just like that in our lives.
That's
right?
Beautiful. That is a great analogy.
Right? I mean, when we're in our lives and we're serving Christ, nobody has to tell us what we're doing is wrong.
Yeah.
I tell these guys all the time, you know, did not the Spirit of God speak to you? Are you going to tell me that the Spirit of God did not speak to you when you did what you did? I'm not your conviction. The Spirit of God is your conviction.
Yeah.
And that's what we live by. But we have to continually lie that we're in that old car.
Yeah.
You know, even though we know we're not. You know, we should be in the new car. We should be in renewed mind. You know, we should be in doing the things that Christ would want us to do. Being about my Father's business.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. All right. So, Spirit of the mind, we're going to get right to, Vinny's already taking us, but I just want us to really understand that it is, I like this latitude-attitude deal, but the Spirit of the mind is really the foundation of our thought life. It is the foundation of our thought life, okay? It is the spiritual set point of the heart, all right? The Spirit of the mind is the driver behind the mind, and that is your heart. And the Holy Spirit is always targeting your heart. You know, there is a deep essence, a core. It's incredibly significant. It's God's breath in you. It is the essence of your being. It is, I don't know, there's not enough adjectives to get there. But that is the target. It's your heart. You know, my mind is, I can hear bad news and get all flustered and everything else. But deep down in my heart, I know God is sovereign.
Yeah.
There's a huge difference.
Yeah.
You know, you look around our culture now, everybody is quaking in their boots because they do not see the sovereignty of God the way that we have the opportunity to see it. Okay? Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yes.
All right, so it's behind, it's the driver of the mind, is the spirit of the heart. And the heart determines the aroma of the mind, which in turn promulgates into action. In other words, there's a sequence here. My heart is in Christ, therefore my mind is in Christ, therefore I do the things of Christ. And if you don't have that heart under there, you're not going to make it, because we are in a spiritual war. If your heart is not sold out to Christ Jesus, you are not going to make it. Your mind is going to go hither and yon, but your heart in Christ, you will bring every thought captive. You'll come back. It's just a matter of time. And we get bad news, we get into horrible things, and you freak out. But give it enough time, that heart will win. Give it enough time, the Spirit of God in your heart will win the victory. You just have to get there again. And you will get there again, because God's hand is on your life. He will not let you be deceived. Okay? So this is, there's a practical outworking. Now, why is this always, always possible? There is something that is so fundamental here that we must never, ever forget. Why is this possible? A renewed mind is what I'm... Well, let's go back to the renewed mind, which, you know, Vinny very nicely took us to. I put a big, long, hairy definition in here.
It's good, though. It's really good. It's great.
Did you read it?
I did. Great, yeah.
Well, go ahead. Read it again.
Aloud?
Yeah.
Renew equals to surrender afresh to the indwelling Holy Spirit, bringing the fullness of Christ into your present experience. Renewal is a present condition brought about by experience the presence of Christ. Renewal came originally at conversion, but it is as well a continuous process that is the engine of sanctification. God has been with you in the past. He will meet you in the future. But his presence with you in the fullness of Christ is in the present. And Christ's presence within you defines your having a renewed mind.
Mm-hmm. So does that...
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's good.
I like the... It is the engine of sanctification.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And if you don't walk in it, yeah, you have like getting in the new car. You got to choose to get in the new car.
The car is great. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And the more often you get in that new car, the more often you will want to get in the new car.
Excuse me, Carol and I just put a down payment yesterday on a new car, so let's find something different.
But where does God meet us? This is so incredibly important. Where does he meet us? Zach, where does he meet us?
In heaven.
Well, yeah, that's for sure. But in your life now, where is he most present in your life? Yes, in the present. God's presence in the present. Unbelievably important. You know, we look into the future and we get all anxious because we picture ourselves in the future without God. That's where tons of anxiety comes from. I know. I live in this. This is my... Yeah. Joe heard my testimony on Thursday. But you cannot factor...
Easily deceived.
Yes.
We have to admit, we're easily deceived.
We project into the future with no God in view. Yeah. It's just me against this hideous thing that I'm going into, and I'm going to get nailed. You know? And that's anxiety.
And all this reframes that still small voice that, you know, when Vince said...
Yeah.
It's to each one of us, when we hear that, our first thought should be, thank you, God, you're there.
Yeah.
You're still, you know, you're taking along. And
yeah.
Our tendency is be, shut up, or, you know, I didn't hear that, or whatever,
yeah.
Put it down. But
to deny you heard
it. Just reframe it and say, thank God, or yes, I was wrong. And it's so hard to say, yes, I was wrong.
Good. Yeah.
But there's then you release, you go back into freedom, because if you didn't choose the right thing, you've put yourself back in bondage.
Yeah.
Like, why do we want that? It's just so funny in the moment.
Yeah.
But we do, and so we can get back out of it, and then you have that burden lifted
off. And it is right there. Mm-hmm. It is present every moment you see Jesus. He is present in the present. Now, why? What is the absolute guarantee that that is the case? That we can live, seriously, in a renewed mind every moment. It is possible, because why?
He said so.
Yeah.
I believe you know.
My Father and I will live in you.
Yeah.
According to His mercy.
Yeah, they believe
according to His
mercy.
His mercy. And what's the basis of His mercy?
Love.
But where did the mercy come from? I'm taking this all the way back to the foundation of everything that we're doing here.
The cross.
The cross, yes. The blood of Christ is infinitely pure. It's infinitely pure. There is no sin, there is no height or depth, nor death nor life, nor anything's past, present, or anything. It covers everything. Every sin that we have, it is so pure.
And that's what He gave us.
He gives us that.
But we have to.
We have to appropriate it.
Yeah.
And that's why we're studying this. But see, the blood of Christ is so pure, it's infinitely pure, it covers every single thing. And I, always going back to what John said about, you know, some of the prison ministry experiences that he's had where, you know, men say, it's impossible. You know, I can't possibly be forgiven, it was so hideous. Wrong.
Well, we can't. You know, probably no human could forgive you for whatever you did.
But
Christ,
Christ
the gap.
Covered
he
it.
Can't,
yeah.
He
yeah.
can't fathom that. Really.
So.
Yeah.
But if you have any doubt, Aaron, if you have any doubt about your forgiveness, just remember the blood of Christ is infinitely pure. His sacrifice is infinitely powerful and will cover every single thing that would ever separate us from God. That is the bedrock of why we're here. The cross, the blood of Christ, and the infinite purity therein. So... Okay.
That verse here, Jeff, kind of
go
capitalized
ahead.
A lot of what
yeah, I, please.
Titus 3:3-5. For we ourselves were also once foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving various lusts and pleasures, living in malice, envy, hateful, hating of others. But when the kindness and the love of God, our Savior, toward man appeared, not of works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
There's a lot
that's
in there.
Beautiful capsule, again, like from Romans. I mean, you know, Scripture interprets Scripture. You could do a whole bunch of studies on this very concept and looking at the different, like it's looking at a diamond. You know, you see the different facets of the truth here. So the renewed mind is possible. Thank God it's possible. And remember, Christ will always, always, if you seek His face, He will complete you in the present. When your temptation comes, it is not you that is being tempted. If you have your eyes on Christ, it is Christ who is being tempted, and He will not fall. And Christ will hold you in your moment of temptation, and you will not fall. But you've got to focus on Him. That's the key. He completes us in the present moment, and he transforms us in a lifetime. So if you see, that's what this point is that the renewal at that moment is the engine of sanctification. You know, sanctification is being made holy over time. And the more you avail yourself of Christ's presence in your life in the moment, the more transformation goes down the track. Right?
Yeah.
I mean, how do you stop a child from growing? I mean, you kill them, but we don't want to go there. You can't prevent the growth of a child. Well, guess what? You cannot. There's no force in this world that can prevent your spiritual growth when the blood of Christ is on your life. There is nothing. You never, ever go backward. You're always, always being drawn closer and closer. Now, it may look at times like you're really in the pits and you're going nowhere, but guess what? God is teaching you something that couldn't have been taught any other way.
And you're going deeper.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, when you first come to the Lord, you kind of, there's a lot of stuff on the surface that's getting cleaned up.
Yeah.
But as you walk with Him, it's the deeper stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean.
You didn't even know it was there.
Yeah. Well, that's it. I mean, I tell you, the thing with the Yukons is forever, and I just have to believe that the whole Christian community at large has learned something about God's sovereignty that they could not have learned otherwise. I mean, it's the hardest lesson ever, but it is crucial that we know this, that God is sovereign, that His ways are not our ways, His thoughts are not our thoughts, and He is moving His kingdom in a way, and it required Matt to lay down his life. And that's the only way I can have peace about this. And there are a lot of Christians who do not get, they're not there yet. Mm. And they are really struggling with, can I really trust this guy that would allow this man to die?
Yeah.
Mm. So search your soul on that one. It takes time. There's no shortcuts. Hideous things happen in this broken world. But guess what? This is the tiniest bit of eternal life. You really have to believe in eternal life. You have to. Otherwise, you'll never survive this life.
My brother just lost his wife this week.
Oh,
11 children.
Oh. Are you serious? Yeah. Did he die suddenly?
She did.
Or she?
Yeah, she did. Well, it was cancer, but it happened a lot quicker than what they thought.
Oh,
my gosh.
Just a couple months ago,
and
it was all over her.
Oh, my gosh.
Yep, but you know this is you know you look at it and you have to you know and in the midst of those things, this was Thursday or Friday.
Thursday, 54 years old.
Oh,
gosh, I'm yep. So sorry.
But the you know the that's the you know he's a believer and you know there's plenty of my family that are believers, but. It's just, you know, you don't know. You don't know in the heavenlies what God is doing, you know. But he does what is good, and we have to believe that. And yet, you know, to know that mom's not there now, and those children are, you know. Now, granted, a lot of those children are married and out of the home right now. But nonetheless, it's still one of those things where you say,
yeah. You only have one.
How can it be?
Yeah.
How can it be?
Yeah. What does Paul say if in this life... alone we believe we are what?
Men most pitiable.
We are most pitiable. If Jesus is not true, if God is not real, but He is.
What's your brother's name?
Pete.
Yeah.
And, you know, we have to diligently seek Him and know that He's a rewarder
of those who seek Him. Yeah.
But it isn't, you know, that your life goes on here forever. You lose your life, but it's His presence. That's the reward.
Amen.
It's His presence here throughout everything we go through. Amen. And then to know we're going to be in His presence forever.
Oh, my gosh.
But people mistake the rewarder of those who seek Him.
Yeah.
I mean, the enemy is planting wrong ideas.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, that's a sobering word, Vinny, but I'll leave you guys in that. All right, we really are almost out of here.
2 minutes, John.
Well, you gotta give us a cup of the new nature.
Yeah, the new nature. Put on the new nature.
30 seconds.
What is the new nature? Well, we already know it. It's Christ in you, the hope of glory. Right? That's it. Okay, that was easy. And what? No, seriously, it is Christ in you, the hope of glory.
Yeah.
In that moment of temptation, Christ is present in you. You just have to look. You have to turn your eyes away from what is ever in your face, and you look straight in the eyes of Christ. The Holy Spirit lives in you for that purpose. He gets up in the morning to reveal Christ to you. That is, he can't help himself. That's all he wants to do. The Holy Spirit. Joshua, the Holy Spirit. What does the Holy Spirit do?
He cleanses you from all sin.
Yeah. He makes you not even want to do that because he focuses your eyes on Jesus. And Jesus, his blood did cleanse us from all sin. So, you know, it's a beautiful work that the Trinity does. And that is the new nature in a nutshell. And those two verses speak to that. And then this, what does created after the likeness of God, what does that mean? Anybody want to take a crack at that one?
Well, they're in relationship.
Huh?
They're in relationship after the likeness of God. I mean, God is in relationship.
Yeah.
With God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy
Spirit. Okay,
okay. And that's the biggest gift we have of being in his likeness.
Yeah.
Because we have that relationship.
Yes.
And living in us.
Yeah. And going back to what Vinny said way back in the beginning. All right, go to Genesis real quick. 1:26 and 27. Joshua, will you read that? Genesis. Take that Bible out of the box and open it up. By golly, we're going to get there today.
You didn't want to rush into
anything. Dust the dust off of it.
Josh, Genesis 1, 26 and 27.
And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them.
Thank you. So what does that mean?
That there are attributes of God that are communicable to us. We are made in his image and his likeness.
Yeah.
That they're not all of them.
No.
But there are the fruit of the Spirit are those attributes. Are
yeah.
Some of those attributes
yeah.
of God that are that he wants to have be manifested in and through us in the world.
Yeah. So, I mean, man by definition is a what?
He, spirit being.
He is a, he has the capacity to what? What does an animal, what can an animal not do that a man can do?
Think. Love. Reason.
Yes, reason.
Mm-hmm. Feel.
Well, they feel things, I think.
Well, oh, I meant like emotion.
Yeah. But how about, you know, love.
Yeah.
Like, make choices. You know, I mean, every other animal in this world does by nature what that was wired
what
into them.
Yeah.
We are choice makers. That is the difference. God chose to make creation. Guess what? You can choose what you want to have for breakfast. Okay?
Yeah.
Within limits.
Not in our house.
Man is always
Mom.
Sought God also. It's something animals I don't think do.
Yes. Well, this is
this and God.
And what is that? What's the other word for that? Starts with a W. I'm going to do it in the next 10 minutes.
Worship.
The other word for what?
It's seeking God.
Yeah.
Is a choice that man can make, and the corollary is that is man worships God. Guess what? Your dog may be the most awesome dog in the world, and I have patients that love their dogs far more than they love anybody else in their family. But a dog can't worship. He just can't worship God. I mean, as far as we know, and this is what we have the opportunity to do in this life because we are made in the image of God. And that, we are the apex of God's creation. It's not an arrogant statement. It's truth. Because of this reason, we're made in the image of God. And there's this is from R.P. Martin. The new birth, okay, we're talking about the renewal again, and the Spirit's control restore the image of God that had been broken by sin, and so give back to man, the sinner, what he lost in Adam. Righteousness, which is right standing before God, and holiness, the condition of the soul demanded by the truth of God. I am so sorry. You, without holiness, can have no relationship with God. It'll be a condemning experience. But Christ in you, the hope of glory, you have His righteousness covering you, the garment of salvation, the robe of righteousness. Never forget those things. Jesus paid the price with that precious blood that you might have those, so that His righteousness is upon you, and you are holy in God's sight, and you can have relationship with Him every minute, every day, till you depart this earth. So don't let any other voice tell you differently, because it's satanic.
Right.
Okay? Absolutely. So, verse 25, what's the therefore, therefore? Oh, I'm so tired of that. So, therefore, putting away falsehood. The therefore is therefore is now on the basis of the new nature. Now, Paul is going to take us through a whole bunch of applications that Bill is going to lead us in next week. But he starts with therefore putting away falsehood. Let everyone speak truth with his neighbor, who remembers one of another. You know, he starts with truth because why? Truth is the... This is totally heretical. It's what? It's the fourth person of the quadrigimity.
Oh.
No. There is the Trinity. Okay, no, I'm just.
It's the essence.
But realize how. Remember, truth.
Watch
truth resonates in the Trinity.
Yeah.
It's the first reflection of the Trinity to us. Is truth. It is. You cannot undo it. You cannot come against it. It will win out every time. The Trinity is true. To always think of truth as being so inherent in the Trinity.
It's what was spoken in the garden. Truth was spoken in
yes.
the beginning.
Good.
You know?
Yeah.
It's what we left
yeah.
to follow
yeah.
you know, to follow you know, the sinful nature.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, if we're following sinful nature, we're not following
yeah.
truth.
I mean, yeah.
It's yeah. very much yeah. fundamental. Yeah. The rudiments of the Christian walk
yep.
is just that. In the newness of life, we walk in truth.
Yeah. Well, the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth. Jesus says, I am the
right.
truth. God engineered truth.
Yeah.
Okay, so it's, see how truth is like interwoven, like it's impossible to separate truth from the Trinity. It's the first impersonal manifestation of the personhood of the Trinity. How's that? Is that okay? This is just driving me crazy. Can somebody close this study? Will you pray before I have a stroke? Man,
don't say that. Father, we thank you for this morning, Lord. We thank you that you have given us new life in Christ. We thank you that you are hope of glory, Lord. We thank you, God, that you have taken us, that you have given us eyes to see by your Holy Spirit. The condition that we were in and the condition we are in without you, Lord. So we pray that you would just pour your Holy Spirit out upon us, Lord, that you would continue to complete the good work that you've begun in us, that you would use each one of us for your glory, that your name would be glorified. And we ask that as we go upstairs that you would manifest your presence, Lord, as we worship and praise you, that as we sing sing of your goodness, sing of what you've done for us, Lord, that your presence would just fall upon your people. Pray that you would anoint Michael as he gives your word, Lord, that it would come forth in truth and in power. And we thank you for Jeff for leading us this class, and we pray that it would take root in our hearts and that we would know the position and standing we have in Christ. In Jesus' name.